Open your Bibles with me tonight to Matthew chapter 27. I want to speak tonight on a subject that got all the apostles in trouble. Got them put in jail. Some of them got killed because of it. They believed in the resurrection of the body after death. It's surprising today how few people there are who believe even in life after death, much less the resurrection from the dead. Resurrection is the only thing that makes this life worth living. If we just lived here and died and were no more and could not take it with us, why do we work so hard to make it in the first place? I keep thinking that one of these days the Lord's going to invent a way that we can take it with us. But I'm afraid that when we leave here, we're going to leave everything behind. Everything. Even our bodies. But we believe in resurrection. And I want to read a few verses here in Matthew chapter 27 and expound upon them tonight. I believe they'll be a blessing to your heart. We'll begin way off in the 50th verse of this 27th chapter. This verse says, Jesus, when he had cried again with a loud voice, yielded up the ghost. And behold, the veil of the temple was rent in twain from the top to the bottom, and the earth did quake, and the rocks rent, and the graves were opened, and many bodies of the saints which slept arose and came out of the graves after his resurrection and went into the holy city and appeared unto many. Now, when the centurion and they that were with him, watching Jesus, saw the earthquake and those things that were done, they feared greatly, saying, truly, this was the Son of God. In the context of these verses, Jesus is on the cross of Calvary, suffering, bleeding, dying for our sins. It's about 3 o'clock in the afternoon. For 3 hours, there has been a miraculous darkness over all the earth. God's electricity went off in the middle of the day. The sun, the moon, and the stars no longer gave their light for 3 hours in the middle of the day. And finally, out of that darkness, at the very end of it apparently, there was this loud cry that came from the heart of the man on the middle cross. Words that split that darkness and caused fear and consternation on every heart as he said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Then he yielded up the ghost. Christ died. Mankind had killed the Creator who made heaven and earth. Now, at his death, there were four more unusual things that took place. Number one, the veil that separated the holy place from the most holy place in the temple was ripped in two from the top to the bottom. Now you know that inside that most holy place was where the presence of God dwelt between the cherubim on the mercy seat. And you know that no one was allowed to go in there except the high priest, and he could only go in there once a year. But now that veil has been torn asunder from top to bottom. Number two, there was a great earthquake. We who live here in California know what earthquakes are. But I doubt that we've lived through a great earthquake. The seismologists tell us that we are overdue here where we live for a great earthquake. There was an earthquake when Jesus died. Number three, the rocks cracked open and broke into pieces. And number four, the graves in the cemetery were opened. Now they didn't bury under the ground like we do today. There were not gaping holes there that went down 6 feet to the casket. They buried on top of the ground in stone coffins. And when those graves were opened, I saw some of those cemeteries while I was over there, and a funeral or two that they were having, and I can just imagine that the earthquake must have sort of jarred the lids off of them or something like that, the covers, leaving the contents of the graves or the caskets or whatever you want to call the place where they place the dead bodies, leaving them exposed to the open. Now be careful here, because the scripture does tell us that though the graves were opened, the occupants of those graves did not come out for 3 days and three nights. They did not come out until after Jesus had come out of Joseph's tomb on the morning of the third day. They did not precede him. Now, on that resurrection morning, many, that's what it says, not all, but many of the physical bodies of the saints who slept came out of those opened graves. They went into the city of Jerusalem. And there, the scripture says, they appeared unto many people on the streets, in the marketplace, in the stores. Some of them may have gone to their home. Here's a widow woman with three or four little kids in here, and all of a sudden there's a knock on the door. She said, go see who's at the door. And the little boy runs and he opens the door and opens it up. Daddy! You know, you can let your imagination run wild with you here. And there was Daddy standing at the door. Now, I want us to spend some time digesting this gigantic piece of supernatural information and learn something about God and about resurrection. The resurrection of the dead. This is not a myth. It's not fiction. This verse is as real as John 3:16. It's not something Matthew invented. But this is a preview and a pledge of the coming resurrection, when from the graveyards of the world, wherever the mortal remains of a saint may be found, this corruptible shall put on incorruption, and this mortal shall put on immortality. That's what it's a picture of. It's a preview. Now, what the Holy Spirit records for us here is brief, but it's to the point. He tells us that on the occasion of Jesus' resurrection from the dead, sometimes we center our attention on Him and His tomb and His resurrection, and we forget to look out here on the perimeter at all of these other fellows that are also rising from the dead. Because we're interested in the resurrection of Christ. But on the occasion of His resurrection, certain of those departed saints arose. They left their graves. They went into Jerusalem, and they appeared unto many. And He tells us nothing more. He just drops it right there. He doesn't elaborate. He doesn't say how many there were. He doesn't say who they were. He doesn't say how long they had been dead, whether they were recently dead or a long time dead. And He doesn't tell us how often they appeared, whether once or twice or from time to time. He doesn't tell us how long they hung around. We know Jesus was around for 40 days. We don't know how long they were. We don't know who they appeared to or what the people's reaction was that they did appear to. They were just dead persons who had come alive and rose from the dead, and a lot of people saw, period. That's what we're told. Another thing that we wonder about is, what kind of body did they have? What kind of rising from the dead was this? There are two kinds that are mentioned in the Bible. One is the restoration to this present natural life. Okay? Look at some biblical examples. In 1 Kings chapter 17, the son of the widow of Zarephath, the one who has sustained Elijah with the barrel of meal and cruse of oil, her son died, and she called the prophet Elijah. And Elijah came, and he prayed. Here's his prayer. O Lord my God, I pray Thee, let this child's soul come into him again. And God heard his prayer and answered it, and the child lived. In 2 Kings chapter 4, there was a Shunammite woman there that had her son. And he had a heat stroke and died. And she called for the prophet Elisha. Elisha responded and prayed unto the Lord. His prayer is not recorded, but as a result of his prayer, that child came back alive. In 2 Kings chapter 13, Elisha the prophet had died, and his body had been placed in a tomb. Some Moabites had killed a man, and they had to quickly dispose of his body because there was a band of men coming. They didn't want to get caught with that corpse. So they took this man who had died, who was dead, and they cast him into Elisha's tomb. And the Bible says that when his body touched the bones of Elisha, he revived and stood up upon his feet. And that's three from the Old Testament. We have three from the New Testament. In Matthew chapter 9, we studied this in Sunday school not long ago. The 12-year-old daughter of Jairus, the ruler of the synagogue, had died. And the Bible says that Jesus went in and he took her by the hand and raised her up, and she came alive. On another occasion in Luke chapter 7, Jesus met a group of people who were taking the body of a young man out to the cemetery to bury him. And Jesus stopped the funeral procession, walked up to this young man's body and said to him, "Young man, I say unto thee, arise." And he that was dead sat up and began to speak. And I have an idea that he said, "Hey, where are you guys taking me?" Imagination again. And then in John chapter 11, Jesus' friend Lazarus of Bethany, the brother of Martha and Mary, he had died, and he'd been buried. He'd been in his tomb, his body had been in his tomb for 4 days. Jesus went out there, had them roll the stone from the mouth of the tomb, and cried out, "Lazarus, come forth." And Lazarus came out of the grave. Now, all of these were revivals of the natural body. Nothing happened at death between their death and their reviving to change their bodies. They were the same body, and their bodies would die again. On the other hand, there's 1 Corinthians 15. And in 1 Corinthians 15, there is a resurrection body of a very different kind. And that's the body that's promised in the day of our Lord's coming. At the sound of the trumpet, when the dead in Christ shall rise. Paul says, sown in corruption, raised in incorruption. sown in dishonor, raised in glory. Sown in weakness, raised in power. Sown a natural body, raised a spiritual body. And this new body that we will receive will be spiritual, incorruptible, and immortal. And at that resurrection, all of those who are Christ's shall be made alive. And everyone of the all who are His, out of all the ages, will be raised at His coming. I believe that these Calvary saints that we're talking about from Matthew 27 here came forth from their graves in their natural bodies. They were revived. For the true resurrection body, they still wait until the rising together of all of Christ's saints from all the ages. We look back into the Old Testament and we say, well, what about Enoch and Elijah? They never died. They went to heaven without dying. Well, so will a lot of other people at the time of the rapture. During the ministry of Christ, we have the appearing of Moses and Elijah with Jesus on the Mount of Transfiguration. Peter, James, and John were there, and they saw them, and they recognized them. Now, Moses had been dead. He had died 1,450 years before he appeared on the Mount of Transfiguration. Elijah had not died. He went up to heaven in a whirlwind, chariot of fire. Now, I'll ask you, what about all those saints? That includes us if Jesus should come before we die. All of the saints who are alive and remain at the coming of Christ, who are caught up together in the air to meet the Lord with all of the resurrected saints. If we go up in the rapture, we will skip death. We'll be changed in a moment in the twinkling of an eye, and we'll go up to heaven with the resurrected saints. But these Calvary saints are not the resurrection. They are a resurrection, but not the thing itself. They are a shadow of it, a foreshadowing of it. God is simply exemplifying beforehand a demonstration of His power, just like it was when He was out at that Bethany cemetery. Martha and Mary weeping, Jesus wept. Lord, if you had been here, our brother would not have died. Jesus told them, I am the resurrection and the life. And to prove it, He raised Lazarus from the dead. Now the proof did not lie in the kind of body with which Lazarus came forth out of the grave. The proof lay in the fact that the restoration of Lazarus was a demonstration of the power of Jesus Christ over death. And it's a demonstration of the true resurrection. Let me illustrate. The Lord gives us, this is beautiful, in John chapter 15. There's a beautiful word picture, and I love word pictures in the Bible. That's mostly what you get. Jesus said to his disciples, he said, I am the vine, and you are the branches. Now, that conjures up in our mind a picture of a grapevine with all of its various branches with the leaves and the fruit, doesn't it? All right, let's take it a step further. An artist takes a canvas and his paints and he draws a beautiful picture of a grapevine with all of its branches and leaves and its fruits. And you see it. And you say, that's a beautiful picture of our unity with Christ. Because Jesus said, I'm the vine and you're the branches. So it's a picture of our union with Christ. But it's only a picture. Now, let's take a walk out into a vineyard. And let's see in that vineyard where God has grown a real grapevine and he's covered it with leaves and branches and fruit. How much more we are impressed with the union of Christ and his believers. You've got three pictures, one the word picture, the other one the one on canvas, and the other a growing, living reality out here. Now, these revived bodies of the saints walking the streets of Jerusalem are a foreshadowing of the life of immortality and of eternal glory that is awaiting all of the saints of God. It's a picture. This was not their final resurrection. Their bodies were not fashioned like unto his glorious body at that time. But they were a symbol of the final resurrection. But notice this. It was Jesus first. They did not come out of their graves until after Jesus had come out of his. He is the first fruits. And he said, because I live, you shall live also. Christ first. Remember what Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians over there, chapter 15? Because there were so many people that said didn't believe in the resurrection, he said, if the dead rise not, then is not Christ raised. And if Christ be not raised, your faith is vain. You are yet in your sins. They which have fallen asleep in Christ are perished. And we of all men are most miserable. But now is Christ risen. from the dead. Now, let me close on a sad note. The Bible speaks of two resurrections. One is the resurrection of the just, those who are Christ's, those who answer the call when the voice of the archangel and the trump of God is heard. The other is the resurrection of damnation, or the resurrection of the unjust. That's those who will rise from death and hell. Revelation says, death and hell gives up the dead that are in them. And the regions of the damned are emptied, but they are plunged into the second death, which is the lake of fire. Only the saints of God shall come forth unto the resurrection of life. None but saints, and yet every saint, because all those who believe on the Lord Jesus Christ are saints. He that believes on him has everlasting life. He that believeth not is condemned already. There is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ. He's passed from death unto life. God gives us a beautiful picture of resurrection. That, my friends, is our hope. We have people around us, loved ones, friends, neighbors, who are dying every day. They've lived their life and they've died. Is death all there is? Certainly not. God has given us hope of resurrection. And it's because of Christ. Because I live, you shall live also. Now these lives that we're living now, they're frail, they're weak, they're subject to infirmities. As we've heard today, 3 new cases of cancer among our relatives and friends and associates here in the church. Deadly cancer. Yesterday I was at a funeral. People die. But God's people do not die without hope. If in this life only we have hope, we are of all men most miserable. I don't know about you, but I look forward to the time when I shall see Jesus. It takes away the fear of death, or should, because it's appointed unto men to die. That's an appointment that we have. The only thing that's going to delay it is the soon coming of Christ. And this life will be over. These bodies will go to the grave. Our soul and our spirit will go into the presence of God. For to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. But then on the morning of the resurrection day, we shall rise with new, glorified, immortal bodies, not subject to death or pain or sorrow. Can you imagine the apostles going out and preaching a message like this, telling people about resurrection, And they say, we don't believe that, and they stone them to death for it. I'm glad that I could get up here and tell you about it, not worry about getting shot or stoned or anything like that on the way out of church tonight, because I'm preaching to kindred spirits. I love you, and it's going to be wonderful when we all get to heaven in our glorified bodies. What a day of rejoicing that will be. Let's stand together, please, for prayer. Heavenly Father, we're so thankful tonight for our Lord Jesus Christ. And tonight we've been made to realize the importance of His resurrection from the dead. When He died, He did not remain dead. He died for our sins. He rose for our justification. And we thank You, Lord Jesus, for the great love that You have for our souls. And our lives are in Your hands. Our times are in Your hands. You know when that day's coming. We don't. But we trust You. And we've placed our faith and our hope in You. Thank You for the divine assurance that You give us through the Word of God, by the Holy Spirit of God that bears witness with our spirit that these things are true. I thank You for these, my brothers and sisters, of like faith. And I thank You for the promise that You've made to us, that You will never leave us nor forsake us. Go with us now to our homes. Help us to meditate upon these things that we've heard tonight. We'll give You the praise, the honor, and the glory in Jesus' name. Amen. May the Lord bless you.